Here we go. It's the news. Creamy. Happy Monday. It is Monday, November 3rd, 1962, 5:58 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It feels like 6:58 because we lost, perhaps we gained an hour. I guess we fell back, which gave us an extra hour on our body clocks for a little while. It lasts for a little while. Give it about a week, maybe two. And still, 5 o'clock in the morning still feels like 5 o'clock in the morning. A couple weeks, by the end of the month, be just in time for us to change back again. We get it all figured out, and then we have to lose an hour. We jump forward, leap, spring forward, the whole thing. Not sure how this week is going to go, folks. Tomorrow morning, as far as the show goes, I had plans to do this whole week with an expose, as it were, on communism. What the communists have done historically, what has happened with communism, how the communists have taken over in the past. But I specifically want to drill down by the end of the week. My plan was to have a five-part show and have break it down. Kind of what I'll do today is give you a general kind of overview of communism, communist Marxist theology, the ideology. Now we'll talk more about, and this is just going to be mostly surface. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not an expert on, I don't know what it is even called, does that fall under the category of just political ideology? We're going to go with this as best we can, kind of move through this whole thing, because I want to connect some dots for you about what's going on with our nation in general, and kind of put some perspective on where we are in our nation in terms of, are we moving towards a communist Marxist society? And is, what is really the polarizing effect, other than Trump? Of course, I think Trump reflects you bring up his name, and of course, everybody's polarized immediately one way or the other. We've had leaders in the past who were just, they didn't like the guy or liked the president or whatever, but there was kind of, we can kind of go on about your life and didn't affect, you could say you were an Obama supporter, and it wouldn't really necessarily. Initially, the first few months of Obama's presidency, I really did think that it was like, okay, you guys, the nation has elected a black man as a president. Now it's a time for healing. I thought there was going to be some kind of I was hoping that was what would happen. That finally, the highest office in the land was achieved. That's not what happened. Obama was not a uniter at all, first of all. And secondly, many of the people, and he could have pulled that off. He could have done it. Could have pulled the nation together, and he could have been that guy. He wasn't that guy. Talking about bitter clingers and all the other things that he did. He was probably one of the most divisive presidents, in my opinion, in terms of his actual. Trump is more divisive, I would say, passive aggressive kind of way. It's just people just don't like Trump because of Trump. Obama did things that behind the scenes, actually subverted any kind of unity. It was very subversive, covertly did a lot of things that. He had the potential to bring things together and create unity. One of the first things he said, and of course, at its core, Obama is a Marxist. That is the key difference here. He was trying to create a. How you say just this a chaotic. Divisive culture And I think that that's the difference, the main difference. Oh, you know, Trump is about Trump, and Trump is trying to, you know, unify the country. And that is part of the Marxist agenda, and we're going to talk more about that, especially when it involves Islam. And its connections. There are some connections between Marxism and Islam, and so we're going to be discussing some of that later on, and just so you kind of connect the dots there as well. So there's a whole lot of things we're going to pin together. And again, I'm not no expert, but I'm going to give it a general overview and kind of show you where the differences are, and the issue that even our founding fathers had with Islam, and one of the reasons that I think Thomas Jefferson actually published or had everybody, I think he bought a Quran for everyone. Now, keep in mind, there are many different versions of the Quran. Was it hundreds of them? I think there was a whole bunch of different ones. And of course, they saw this as being a problem. That became a problem because there were so many issues with it. And of course, Muhammad, the prophet, did not actually write it. It was written many, many years later, which, you know, they can argue, well, Jesus didn't write the Bible either. Big difference there, but we won't get into that. Now, by the way, in the background, you probably just heard me sip my cup. Take a sip out of my cup. And I did sip my cup there. It's chai, my regular chai with Almond Joy creamer. However, I have no backup cup this morning. I've got nothing. My wife went to Texas Roadhouse last night to get on the way home. She got carry out and she got sweet tea, but I don't, she didn't specifically say it was mine. So she didn't specifically give it to me. She brought it home, put it in the refrigerator, but she wasn't up when I came down to do the show this morning. I didn't want to just assume I could have it. Probably would have been fine, but I you know, one of those things. I just didn't want to take that. Anyway, a couple of housekeeping issues here. One is I want to know what you thought. I want to. It must be Monday. I want to know what you think about what I think. And you can call the show, 812-379-8778. And in case you're wondering why my voice sounds a little bit tired this morning, it's because I woke up early. I've been working late nights. And, of course, yesterday was up early to finish up the day so I could get home. You know, did a decent hour. Tried to stay up as late as I could. Just because the dog's the dog being what he is, he's been going through this little zoomy stage in the evenings, or maybe 10 times a day actually. But he in the evenings it's kind of more annoying. I was trying to stay up through that whole process, and knowing that I had to get up early this morning, I do have to go back and do some work this morning. I kind of came home last night to get prepared for going camping. Now this, which is going to be the problem with this week's series on the communist Marxist / Lenin stop here. I'll be traveling the rest of today. Get done very late tonight. I'll be trying to travel back tomorrow morning to Chicago, which means I got to get back here. And then we're going to hop in the motorhome and we're going to go down to kind of central Ohio. There's an area where we're going to do some camping. Hopefully the weather's going to be good. And so we're packing up the dogs, packing up everything and taking off down there. I'm going to be trying to get everything packed up this morning before I leave to go to work. And then I'm going to try to... And once I have all that stuff ready to go, I can just kind of come home, jump in the motorhome, and take off so we don't get down there too late in the day. Which I'm sure will not be. That never works out that way. We'll be lucky to get out of here by 10 o'clock at night probably, but that's tomorrow. But it's just the way things go. Anyway. So I have the next couple of days, specifically tomorrow, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do my show. When I'm camping, it's hard to do the show too. I don't know if I'm going to have. I usually have internet. I can usually post it if I do one. The other issue is just background noise and everything else that's going on. The dogs are there. That, you know, it's I'm in a camper, so it's just kind of hard to, you know, you got dogs and cats and people running around doing things. It's kind of a small environment to try to have a decent show. So I'm not sure it's going to happen. We'll just have to see what happens with that. But the other possibilities, I could possibly do some recording of the different parts of the show and then just post them later on as the week goes by. Could do that. So we may have to postpone the week-long event. And now next week, it would probably be a lot easier for me. I have which is what might end up happening. This week, the shows might be kind of a little bit sparse, sporadic, which they typically are sporadic shows anyway. But the it's because I'm sporadic. Let's see, where will I be here next week? Yeah, I'll be in Greenville, South Carolina on Monday of next week, and then Tuesday morning actually be in Cincinnati. And both of those days I could probably do a show those mornings, most likely. So next week I could actually do a show, and then the rest of the week I'm off. I would be able to do a show every day next week, which might be better. It might be better to just put the whole thing together this week and then have it all in the can for next week. Might be a better way to go about it. Anyway, I want to talk about communism in general, what's happening with our nation, just kind of give you an overview of what's going to happen throughout the week. We're going to drill down on some things next week or you know, the rest of the series. And one of those things is just the history of communism, what has happened in the past. There have been some good examples of communism. There have been some very bad examples of communism. Of course, what you hear is that communism has never worked. Communism has worked in a couple of situations. Now, not a political communist society where it's a top-down imposed upon communism. It is, you have these leaders who are very passionate about starting a communist society. There's something at the core of it. There's something spiritual going on, in my opinion, with the whole communist mentality. Communism does not lift up the individual. Let's just put it that way, first of all. Communism lifts up a group of individuals, and but they aren't considered individuals. The mentality of communism as a political ruler class, as a political governance, when you use communism to govern a society or govern a group of people, the governance is where the problem comes in. Now, you've seen the attack on our Constitution. The left claims again that the right, that Trump is tearing up the Constitution. He's breaking the Constitution. We have a constitutional crisis, blah, 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 on and on and on and on. They are the ones who are trying to destroy the Constitution, and it's ironic. And this is constant with the radical leftists in the way they will say one thing, and what it's absolute projection of what's actually happening. They will tell you that, well, Trump might go after his political enemies. You were the ones going after him. He was the political enemy for you guys, and you were going after him, and you thought that was okay. Well, it's because it's Trump. It's because he's an enemy. He's your enemy, and you were going after him, and that's okay. Charlie Kirk gets shot and killed, and that's okay because it was Charlie Kirk. He's the enemy. Yeah, I've played the audio that people are celebrating what he did or what happened to him. And celebrating that Hitler is dead. Hitler is dead. Oh, yay. You know, why shouldn't I be happy Hitler's dead? You know, it's one thing if he would have died in an accident. That's one thing. The fact that he was murdered, intentionally shot by, yes, someone on the left, not someone, not one of the MAGA people. Jimmy Fallon made it, or not Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel made it very clear when he was doing his little tirade, the tirade he got in trouble for, when he said, there's no doubt that it was anyone but one of their own. Was killed by one of their own. That he wasn't, he was being very clear there. He's being kind of sidestepping it, but he definitely said it the way he said it, and he meant it the way he said it. That it was somebody from MAGA that killed him. That's not what happened at all. And if you've paid attention at all, there's been some people who've really laid out some of the violence that the left has done. And the way they're counting the violence that the left has done, political violence, the way they report on it, the way they categorize it, especially under the Biden administration, the way they were doing things is, you know, they were color coding it, basically just anything that would happen to a conservative. There's one fellow actually got shot just for having a red hat on. That wasn't considered political violence. He was killed, by the way, during the George Floyd riots. And it was very clear in the video, this guy, the only reason he shot him is because he was a Trump supporter. By the way, I think that man is, I don't even think that man is in jail today. Not positive on that. The way they've counted the numbers, the way they define things, the way they change the definition of words, all those kinds of things. There's, it's like Mayor Brandon. Brandon, is it Brandon Johnson? Is that his name? In Chicago, was recently being challenged. Somebody used the term, when they were asking him a question, they used the term illegal alien. It had nothing to do with the question. And he had to snap back on the term illegal alien. Well, my people were, legal name for my people is slaves, are slaves. Is he going to call them slaves? He's going to call me a slave? Well, first of all, it's not the legal name anymore because the legal name slave slavery is not legal anymore. It's illegal. Slavery is illegal. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. So I'm saying it's illegal. And secondly, exactly when were you a slave, Mayor Johnson? What years was that exactly? When you were a slave and somebody owned you, called you a slave? Just the kind of rhetoric that we're hearing, of course, and it has nothing to do with the question that was asked. The question was asked about illegal immigrants getting benefits and all the other things that were going on in Chicago. But by the way, it's not a winning topic among most people groups in Chicago. There's the only people who are showing up for these protests are white European leftists. You don't see a whole lot of brown people there protesting. It's just, you don't see that. I'm not saying there's none. I'm just saying there's not a lot of them. The vast majority of them are the racist white people, because they're white, they're racist. They're trying to overcome this stigma that they've placed upon themselves because they're white. They feel like it's a lot of it. White guilt is a real thing, and it's been imposed upon a lot of people that they feel guilty about being white and what their supposedly their ancestors have done. Because they're white ancestors, not their actual ancestors necessarily. My family didn't own any slaves. And even if they did, that's them, not me. I'm sure my family did plenty of things that were wrong. You don't hold somebody else accountable for that. It's not the way our system works here. Like I was saying, it's In communism, you become a cog in the wheel. You become when communism becomes the governing agent, the problem with it is that it's all about the governance. It's all about the government basically becomes your god. It becomes your supply. It becomes everything. It's your life revolves around the government. I should say those in charge of the government. And those in charge of the government make or break companies, make or break people, make or break institutions. They decide. And it can be done very covertly, which it's being done even that way today. I would say we are much more of a communist nation or a Marxist nation today than we were 50 years ago. Government can make or break you because they can impose taxes. They can change laws to suit their will, their whim. They can charge you in certain districts with certain crimes that have a more slanted, you know, one way or the other, where they know they're going to win in a particular district or not. Look at what happened to Trump. There was a very, I would say, upfront example of what they can do to you. They decided they're going to go after Trump, going to bankrupt him. So they change laws. They change the statute of limitations. They change all these other things. They change the definition of one thing and the definition of something else. And they lay it out in front of a court, in front of a jury that is all slanted towards basically Trump haters. They have a political agenda. And, oh, look, lo and behold. And just they lay out several different charges. This is how ridiculous this thing is. Never been done before, by the way. No case history of this. They lay out just like, what was it, 5 or 6 different charges or 13 different charges? Maybe it was more than that. Maybe it was 34 counts. Just pick from any one of these that you think he's guilty of. So instead of having a jury of your peers charging you on one particular count that you're going after, they just lay a whole bunch of stuff out there, and you just pick one that you think he's guilty of. They can all pick something different. And they could all disagree with each other. One person might pick that he's, you know, whatever it was, forging document, whatever those charges were. Nobody knows. And all those charges basically were what you call misdemeanors that were based, had to have the basis of an underlying crime. Tim Pool the other day did an interview with some guy who was a leftist, and he was going after the guy, and he was kind of going after Tim Pool because Tim Pool supported Donald Trump as president. And he said, "But you're supporting, so you think people who, you know, have committed crimes should be, you know, this is what he was going after because he was going after the little crime thing about the way some cities now are not charging people with crimes and they're emptying out the jails." Well, the problem that he had there was that he challenged him on this idea that, well, but you support a president who's got 34 felonies, 34 charges against him. And of course, Tim jumped back at him and said, what was the underlying crime? Of course, the guy was like, well, I don't have the case in front of me. I don't know. You know, of course, he jumped into an area where he didn't know what he was talking about. And Tim, I might play that at some point this week. If there was no underlying crime. Just you can't find it, you don't know what it is because there isn't one. There's also another guy. I'm probably going to play some clips from the guy just because he actually was very in depth, very good at what he was doing. I can't remember the guy's name. It was a new person that I found. New channel I found, and it was he went over this whole thing about the whole Marxist thing and especially Mamdani's past. I want to get into that. That's one of the reasons I want to talk about it is because Mamdani, with everything that's going on there, there's a huge amount of confusion, you could say, concerning the whole his candidacy, where he's going, where he's taking the city of New York. He's going to have a problem. He's first of all, he has a city council he has to deal with. He also has to work with a governor who is not necessarily on board with all of his ideas. Now, Mayor Adams has kind of set him up a little bit. Mayor Adams went out and, who's the current mayor, he went out and basically put in place, he hired a bunch of new cops. Now, Mamdani's, I think the election is tomorrow. My understanding is, by the way, the shutdown, there's an insider that kind of came out and leaked this whole thing about what the Democrats are planning on doing. They wanted to get the Kings, no Kings thing done. Then everybody thought they were going to open the government back up after that. That's not what they're going to do. They're setting up traps now for Trump. One of these things, this one deal where they have, they said that they have these contingency funds, like an emergency fund kind of thing set aside. And these judges now have decided that they're going to the president has to spend that money on the SNAP program. Now, this is not funds that are like every month are replenished. These are funds that are set aside. It's kind of like having your emergency fund. You don't spend your emergency fund every month and just refill it. It's not just willy-nilly money. Apparently, two different judges now what happens is these NGOs that come up, they file a suit. They push back, it could be a city attorney general, a city attorney as well, they can do this because they're trying to protect their citizens. So they'll file an injunction or they'll file some kind, I don't know what they call it. They'll file something to get with the federal court. The judge makes a decision. The judge then becomes the president in that moment, in my opinion. Which is really bizarre to me that they can interfere with the judicial branch like that. I don't understand that at all. They can start telling the president what he can and can't do. I don't understand that. But there's apparently this money that the president has at his discretion. And they're saying that he has to use it. He has to use it. You shall use it, basically, was the ruling that they made. So, now, the problem that the president had was it may not even be legal for him to do so. And his lawyers were looking at it and say, I don't think this is even legal for us to use this funding for that. And it's not that he wouldn't do it, just that it was just no legal way around it. Now, so the Democrats are jumping on the other side of that issue and saying, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about you. Meanwhile, they're the ones who have shut down the government. They're the ones this is the whole problem here is because of them. And here's my opinion on this whole – I want to talk about this shutdown for a little bit. And again, this gets back to this whole thing of communism and this whole thing about can you trust a government to run everything? Or do we depend on individuals? Should the government be protecting your individual rights to protect yourself? That's the whole, and to have associations of your own, i.e., a church that you belong to or an organization that you belong to, provides you with your societal support. Now the here's the problem here. They have gotten themselves into this mess. Because they shut the government. And the whole thing revolves around one linchpin. Now, if you know what a linchpin is, a linchpin is a little pin that you can pull that basically, it doesn't have much weight on it, but it is holding the lever that releases the load. So it's, in other words, a little linchpin, like you might have a clamp or something that you have, and you have this big lever that you pull down and pull the lever over and you load this thing up with all kinds of load, some kind of weight or something that's clamped down with this clamp, this lever. And that lever is kind of spring-loaded so that it will open up if it's let go, if you let go of it, but that doesn't take, it has so much leverage, it doesn't take very much effort to really, so it's not really holding the load necessarily, it's got so much leverage on it. So there's a place in this lever where you can put a pin in there and that pin will hold that lever in place. That pin, very light little pin, you can probably stick a toothpick in there and it will hold it because it doesn't take that much. It has so much leverage over the load that it doesn't take very much to hold it. But if you pull that little pin out, it releases the lever and the load goes. The load is released. So you can just pull that little pin with your with two little fingers, you can pull that little pin out and it'll drop, 20 tons or whatever it is. That's what a linchpin is. In the center of all this, Chuck Schumer is the linchpin. This is all about him and his political future, which, how much longer could that go? Next 4 years, maybe? I don't think Schumer's going to be around 6 years from now. Not on the political scene. He's got what? How old is Chuck Schumer now? Let's find out. Let's just go here. Oh, let's go back over here because that's not the one I want to look at. That's not a page I want to lose either. I'm going to find a page I want to lose. Where's a page I can lose? We have now my computer's slowing down. Here we go. This is a perfect one. How old is Chuck Schumer? Let's see. How old is Chuck Schumer? Let's just find out. Schumann? No, that's not who he... Chuck Schumer is 74. Chuck Schumer is 74 years old. I thought he was older than that. I honestly thought he was older than that. That surprises me. What's that about? Huh. I guess, okay. Anyway, So there you go. So that's what's happening there. Where was I at there? Okay, there it is. Born in 1950. Wow, I thought he was born in the 40s. I thought he was a lot older than that. That shocks me, actually. I guess he could be around in 6 years. No question about that, because they're going to get all these people in their 80s up there. But I would be surprised if he goes much more than 6 more years. Of course, now it's, but he's going to have a death grip on power that entire time, as much as he can. Now, the weird thing about all this is how he's afraid he's going to lose his seat. AOC may primary him, and she may win. Now, this whole thing with Mamdani, of course, I think it's in his district, I believe, and it's this weird thing of how AOC has become more popular. You know, you have people like Jasmine Crockett who are more popular. They say things that sound okay. Mamdani is very, very good at saying what he's saying, and he's very careful about how he chooses his words. One of the things he's saying is he's going to appropriate private property. He's going to appropriate housing. We're going to appropriate housing. That's basically eminent domain. That's basically saying we are going to take over housing. We're going to take over rental properties. They're going to start managing the prices of things. That's price control, rent control. That's what he's talking about when he says that. Very, very, what's the word? Scary. That's the only word I know to use. Economically, everything else, now keep in mind, once these people get into power, it's not like you can just vote the guy back out again. It doesn't happen that way. People get into power. I'm surprised Adams is being booted out. Of course, it's ironically, you know, the booting out the black man for a different brown man. And of course, but Mamdani's playing a lot of different cards here. He's depending on who he's talking to. He talks about the poor Muslims who, days after the attack on 9/11. It's ironic to me that he talks about how his aunt, his dad's cousin, was afraid to take the train because now he was a rap singer, by the way. He was a rap singer. I don't like using rap and singer. Rap music, I don't. Rap is chanting set to music. He was a chanter. I'm going to call him a chanter. It's very low quality, very sad, sick sounding stuff, and you can't even hardly understand anything he says in his music, if you want to call it music. And then this is a whole thing. He wrote this one piece about his aunt wanting to ride the train because of her hijab, and she was concerned about that because there's all, you know, you can find all kinds of cases of people being attacked on trains because they're Muslims. You won't find any. There's nothing there, by the way. You might over in other countries, in ironically Islamic countries. If a woman doesn't wear a hijab in an Islamic country, guess what? She will be, yeah. It's so. He's talking about how it was so terrible that his aunt couldn't ride the train with her hijab because she was scared on the train. Hey, everybody. Apparently, he wasn't around during that time because I remember everybody being afraid of everything after 9/11. Any kind of public spaces, trains, planes, buses, whatever it was. Everybody was concerned. And if you looked like one of the people who did it, it's just kind of common nature, common human nature, to be afraid of that kind of person. To look at them kind of funny and wonder what they're doing there. What are you doing? We just saw 3,000 people get killed by someone who looked like you. How do you expect them to act? It was a fear reaction on their part. Most aggression is based on fear and insecurity. It was all said and done. Now, but his whole problem was my poor aunt, this racist nation that he wants to be a part of. So terrible, this nation's so terrible. I'm going to straighten it out. They use that as a way to get your. They can use that kind of guilt, put that on the white people, put that on the people who are there. This is the way they do this. This has been going on for forever. Continue to do this kind of thing. They make you feel bad for being who you are, even though you had no choice in the matter. It's just the way it works. Yeah. So again. We'll get more in depth with some of this stuff, especially with Mondami. Now, just only because but like I said, this whole thing hinges on Chuck Schumer and the fact that he could potentially lose his seat in power, and he doesn't want that to happen because if they can take over the House, he'll be the Speaker. I'm sorry, no, if they can take over the Senate, he'll be the Supreme Leader there in the Senate. I'm sorry, he's a Senator, not a Congressman. And of course, Hakeem Jeffries, he's all in on it because he wants to make sure that he might potentially be the Speaker if they can take back the House. They're trying to do with everything that they can in order to do that. They're falling apart at the seams because everything that they're doing is being motivated by hatred towards Trump. And as I said earlier, their polarization with Trump is more about who Trump is and the fact that they just have vilified the man to the point where that's what's making him polarizing. Not necessarily anything he's done. I would say he's been more of a centrist or a right-leaning Democrat in terms of his policies in many ways I wouldn't call him an absolute conservative. But at least his policies are better than, even some establishment Republicans would be. Establishment Republicans will go along with the Democrats and make it look like they're being conservative. Like I've said before, I was saying it last week. Republicans like to lead from the back. They like to lead from behind. They like to act like the party that's trying to slow things down. Oh, we're just trying to slow them down. We don't have any power. They don't like to be in power. Because they don't understand their position. They don't understand their job. They don't understand the responsibility that they have to educate people on what it means to be an individual, what our nation was founded on. It's an educational process, and they don't want to do that. Democrats have an emotional agenda. It's all they do. It's all about emotions. So, I digress. We have... Where are we at here on the show? I don't know how much time I've been going here. I guess long enough. I think we've been going long enough. That's the answer to that question. I have a few other things I want to talk about just in general. Of course, the elections are tomorrow for the mayoral race. By the way, this insider, I was getting on this, talking about that earlier. I'm sorry, I'm kind of scrambled up this morning just because I kind of lost my train of thought, really, with all this stuff going on. This insider who happened to be privy to a bunch of these inside meetings that they were having, he's come out and spilled the beans. He said they're planning on opening the government back up on Thursday after the election. They're going to come back and they're going to have a vote. They're going to open the government back up on Thursday. Now, the problem they're going to have, I don't know how they're going to do this. Basically, it's only going to last to like the 17th or the 19th or whatever it is. They're going to be right back in the same situation again, which I think is what they want. Now, I don't think they want to have it happening over Christmas. However, they may try to use it as if they can get away with the leverage on this one, they're going to try to get away with the leverage on the next one. Now, I've seen a lot of people reporting that Mamdani's, you know, his candidacy is collapsing. Now, I don't see that happen. I think he's going to win. I don't think it's going to be an issue. Now, there is a Jersey race, I think, that's going to sway towards the Republicans. I think Canada got a very good chance. It all kind of depends on turnout here with the day of the election day, which that's so what the Democrats do is they have all these early elections. They can gather all the votes. They can you know, do all their ballot harvesting. They can do all the nefarious things that they do because it takes a lot of time to do all that stuff. So it gives them more time to squeeze all those things in. And then on election day, they can have issues because most Republicans turn out on election day. That's just kind of the way they're more traditional. They like to do it that way. They don't like to do the mail-in ballot thing. Well, they can take advantage of that. They can come in and they can basically say, okay, well, we're experiencing some difficulties with the voting machines in this particular precinct. This happened in the blue county, in the blue district, in my state. In the last, I think it was the last midterm. I think it was the last midterm of the last election. Out of all the precincts where you could go to vote, I think there were like five or six of them that were, all of a sudden the voting machines were down. Only happened in the blue district. Strange how that happens. No other counties in northern Indiana had any issues there. Not at all. But the county that was the blue county, basically, had the issues. Very strange how that works out. And it disenfranchises people because you get in line, and all of a sudden find out things, you know, it's going to be 2 hours before the thing. So you're not going to come back, and you're probably not going to go find another precinct to vote because you're taking time off work or whatever. It's like, oh, I'm just going to go. I got to get this done. They know that they're going to drop off. You know, a certain percentage of people are not going to vote, and though that's the day when most people who vote are going to be Republicans, they lean right. So that's how they mess with those kinds of things. That's why voting day, election day, is one of the most ridiculous. Typically, kind of events start to take place, like a water main broke, which is just an overflowing toilet. Have to shut down voting. Have to put the people who are watching the vote over there in the corner. And then we're going to tell them that, oh, we're going to stop voting. We're going to stop counting now, so you can all go home. Once they leave, then you continue counting. Nothing to see here. Nothing nefarious going on. Oh, look, there's a big box of votes, of ballots underneath here. We got to pull those out underneath that table over there. Do that while they're gone. Nothing to see here. Nothing nefarious going on. Oh, yeah, by the way, all of a sudden, well, look, the other guy won. The other guy was ahead, but now this guy won. Funny how that works out. That's nothing to see here. Nothing nefarious. Which, you know, fine. It's fine. I think Trump, the number two here, I think had he had another... another term directly after the first one, I don't think things would have been. I think things are different now. I don't think this. You would have seen people come out of their people. You know, people like Joe Rogan and people, some other people who have actually come out to support him. I don't think it would have happened in his second term. I think he'd have been fighting up the same hill the whole time that he was fighting up the first time, and I don't think. you know, now you've got an issue where he's had a chance to really regroup and get himself in a position. I think he knows what's going on now. He knows how the game is played. He knows who the people are he can trust, that those kind of things. So I think it's given him a lot more. He's not even, what are we into? Is it just 10 months into his presidency? Got a few more years left. See how this works out. They're going to burn themselves out. I think that's just the Democrats are, you know, and I don't see it ending well in some ways. There's some things I think they're going to happen throughout the next 4 years at some point because of the way they've got themselves worked up into a frenzy. But we'll see what happens. It's a very dangerous time, I think, for our nation right now. So let's put it that way. We need to continue to pray for wisdom on behalf of those who are leading and guiding and those who are doing their thing. I think it's just going to be an issue of I think God has made it very clear that he has his hand on the tiller. And he's guiding, leading, and doing his thing. I think nothing's going to surprise God. So much more to talk about, but I really need to get going. Once again, folks, let me know what you think about what I think. It's 812-379-8778. You can call or text the show. Let me know. Or you can go to google.com/voice, and you can type in that number, and you can put in your text message or your voicemail message. I might play your voicemail on the phone if it's or on the show if it's something. Meantime, God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Take care. I hopefully will talk to you tomorrow. See ya.